Happy New Year, and welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. A Happy New Year to you from myself as well. He gave us quite a bit of additional information, so I appreciate his help on that. We have got that story, plus Public Domain Day 2025. But first, Trudeau resigns, suspends democracy in Canada. It's like a weird, like, hostage crisis, James. Justin Trudeau announced he's suspending democracy in Canada with his replacement going to be chosen by Liberal Party apparatchiks. Amid widespread discontent, a winter of discontent, if you will, the Prime Minister's announced his delayed resignation, triggering a leadership contest within the Liberal Party to find a successor. His announcement comes 8 months before the next scheduled federal election, where public opinion polls suggest the Liberals are on track to suffer a humiliating defeat, if that sounds recently familiar to you in other elections, with the Conservatives currently polling towards a majority government. That old pendulum that swings back and forth. One recent poll indicated the Trudeau Liberals would fall to fourth place in the next election, falling behind the Antifa-sympathizing NDP and even Quebec's hated separatist party. Trudeau's resignation comes just after Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland and Housing Minister Sean Fraser became the latest members of his inner circle to leave his cabinet. Freeland quit just hours before Trudeau's announcement. James, I think that's wrong. She quit weeks ago. I think I even joked on here, oh, Twitchy quit, citing their differences in economic policy. So remember to always double-check your news for, you know, accuracy. Freeland accused Trudeau of implementing costly political gimmicks, a reference to his recent plan to give $250 for working Canadians in the spring of 2025, a point of contention between the two after he announced it in November, alongside a two-month GST pause on certain items that started on December 14th. Yeah, watch. Old Twitchy, she'll probably be the new front. Trudeau's 9 years will be remembered for a number of scandals, including being found guilty of breaking ethics laws twice. In 2017, Trudeau accepted a vacation on the private island of Aga Khan, and in 2019, he attempted to influence then-Attorney General Jody Wilson-Raybould, asking her to intervene in the prosecution of SNC-Lavalin. James, I'm not sure about that story. In both instances, Trudeau was found to have violated the Conflict of Interest Act. We could use some of that down here in the States. Maybe, again, that'll all come from the intermingling of the two, James, of the 51st state. Additionally, a federal judge ruled last year that Trudeau violated the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms by invoking the Emergencies Act against peaceful protesters in Ottawa who were demonstrating against his scamdemic vaccine mandates. Ironically, at that time, Trudeau was isolating after allegedly contracting COVID-19 after getting, allegedly, 3 doses, the same vaccines he was coercing Canadians to get through travel and employment bans and on those evil unvaccinated individuals. An additional one from ReclaimTheNet.org, the authoritarian legacy of Trudeau. And there it is, James.
There it is. And, well, you'll allow me to take a victory lap on this one, because as a Canadian, obviously I have been following the story of the rise of the risible Trudeau to the top of the toilet bowl of Canadian politics ever since it took place. Literally on the night of his selection, I wrote, "And the winner of the Canadian election is dot dot dot." And I followed that up the very next day with a conversation with Dan Dix of Press for Truth, talking about his unfortunately completely correct documentary, which he had released earlier that year, on the Trudeau deception. So we talked about dissecting the Trudeau hype. And so I followed that all through the, of course, the dark depths of the scamdemic lows of the give, send, gone fiasco and its inevitable follow-up, which I followed up with episode 437 of the Corbett Report podcast on Canada Criminalizes Dissent, where, hey, guys, it's totally, absolutely fine what the Canadian government did, and they're not going to receive anything more than a cursory wrist slap over all of that. And who can forget when Justin Castro walked away with the Dino of Dinos, the fake news story of the year at the 6th Annual Fake News Awards. Fake news story of 2022 was his fringe minority comment talking about the freedom protesters in the freedom convoy. So, yes, you will allow Canadians, hopefully, a moment to celebrate, ding dong, the dictator's gone. Which old dictator? That old dictator. Yay, Canada is free! Question mark? Well, I guess the question is, what comes next? And I have a couple of answers along those lines. So, James, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh, let's do the bad news first so, you know, we can leave with a good news taste.
I think the bad news utterly destroys the good news. So, you know what? Let's do it the other way around. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have given you the choice. Good news. White House. With the House of Commons prorogued, some key liberal legislation may not pass, or as the countersignal puts it, Trudeau's internet censorship bill and other legislation halted by prorogation. Yes, prorogation is a word that you're going to have to become familiar with in the coming months. Because yes, as you say, democracy suspended, Canada is not really a functioning government right now. So all of those bills, including the Online Harms Act and all of the other Orwellian dystopian nonsense that was being pushed under Trudeau, are now on hold and unlikely to pass unless some sort of miracle occurs. So that's the good news. But the bad news is, who will almost certainly replace him at this point, who is almost certainly going to be the next Prime Minister of Canada? Not Twitchy. She might replace him as leader of the Liberal Party, but the Liberal Party is about to be decimated in an absolute bloodbath at the next election. So the next Prime Minister of Canada is almost certainly going to be Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. And what does he have to say? Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre says, Israel hit on Iran would be a gift by the Jewish state to humanity. Oh, that's right. Oh, don't worry, guys. Everything's A-OK and everything's gonna be wonderful as, don't worry, both wings of the bird of prey will always agree on the important war agenda items. Case in point, Canadian politics. So, anyway, there you go. At least one dictator's out the door and undoubtedly many, many, many more behind him.
Isn't it interesting how the three amigos of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico still, as you say, will always remember to agree on the really important parts? I mean, it sounds like the Zionist new president of Mexico, who immediately, recall, rescinded the previous president's ban on GMOs. And I'm sure that's just the start of things.
Or Malay literally converting to Judaism, right? There you go.
Exactly. The savior of Argentina and the bro of whatever. How similar, though. Again, looking at it on its face isn't as fun as sort of just kind of thinking about the bizarre, more shadows on the wall machinations and the repetition of all of this. How similar, James, to Brandon here in the States suddenly quitting. So here in the state, I mean, we've basically not really had a president for the last while. It just strikes me as a similar sort of parallel of, I'm going to quit in a couple of months. And it leaves it in this sort of weird stasis. That is our first story of 2025 on the triumphant return of the long-running and beloved series New World Next Week. By our calculations, this is episode 576, Hipster Gates to the Rescue again, James. See how things flip, and we've given our heroes, and we're given our villains, and we cheer and we jeer. How the Cybertruck blast revealed the extent of Tesla's sprawling surveillance capabilities. Tesla founder Elon Musk's response to the Cybertruck blast in Las Vegas, which is how we kicked off the new year here in the States with two totally unrelated terror events, reveals the extent to which his vehicles monitor their users' behaviors and his decision to provide law enforcement information regarding the truck's telemetry before the explosion also differs from the actions taken by the other technology companies during similar situations. I believe that is saying he works with the cops even more than the other hated FANG tech outlets. Musk, or someone with the automaker, remotely unlocked the truck for law enforcement officials and provided them video from charging stations to track down the vehicle's locations prior to the explosion on New Year's Day. This all according to information that then the police released. That incident, which is believed to be intentional and occurred at the entrance of Trump International Hotel, came after a different person used an F-150 to plow through a crowd on New Year's Eve celebration in New Orleans, killing 15. That suspect in the New Year's Eve attack, Shamsud Din Jabbar, was in the military and all died during a shootout shortly after the rampage. The man involved in the Cybertruck attack active duty Army soldier Matthew Livelsberger allegedly shot and killed himself just prior to the explosion. I do enjoy that a remote weapons expert blew up the car with himself inside it. Or he shot himself. So far, investigators have found no links between those two patsy frontmen. Both men rented their respective vehicles through a car renting app, Turo, T-U-R-O, I've not heard of that, says it's helping investigators as well, according to a press release that they put out. Law enforcement officials have not discovered evidence of a connection between those two attacks. Investigators probing the cyber-stuck blast revealed elements of Musk's involvement in the investigation. He gave us quite a bit of additional information in regards to the vehicle was locked due to the nature of the force of the explosion, as well as being able to capture all the video from every Tesla charging station across the country, which I don't know why I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's another reminder. Oh, yeah, it's not just this benevolent actions. He sent that directly to us, so I appreciate his help on that, said Clark County Sheriff Kevin McMahill at a press conference referring to the hipster Gates, the Tesla founder. Musk said something similar on the platform he's ruining as well. You might have known it as Twitter. We have now confirmed that the explosion was caused by very large fireworks and or a bomb carried in the bed of a rented Cybertruck and is unrelated to the vehicle itself, he wrote, noting explosive devices in the bed of the truck. All vehicle telemetry was positive at the time of the explosion. Analysts say Tesla's ability to track users at every point along a journey is another reminder that consumers no longer own their vehicles. As we have noted many years, it's what they did to your little fondle slabs as well. Took out any ports, any ability for you to have almost literal input. It's just a vending machine that you're supposed to thwack on. Why do you think they want driverless cars? So you can be on your idiot slab 24/7. It demonstrates that manufacturers can now insert themselves into every moment of a person's driving experience while also providing private information to, of course, law enforcement. Recent reports show major car brands don't do much to protect privacy for people who own internet-connected cars. It demonstrates that alt-media hucksters can now insert themselves into every moment of a person's news experience while also providing private information to law enforcement. As Gizmodo writes, if you've got a new car, it's a data privacy nightmare. Bad news, your car is a spy. Every major car brand's new internet-connected devices flunked privacy and security tests conducted, James, by Mozilla. It is hipster Gates and MAGA jabs together at last, James. There it is.
Yeah, that's it. And you know what? Let me connect the dots for people out there who don't understand why you call Musk hipster Gates. There is a very specific and good reason for that. So let's connect those dots. Remember back in July of 2020 when hipster Gates, a.k.a. Elon Musk, was bragging about the RNA microfactories that Tesla Inc. was running, i.e. mobile molecule printers to help make the potential COVID-19 vaccine? Remember that? Oh, yeah. Well, I do, and I've got the receipts to prove it, so I'll put it in the show notes for people who need that. So, yeah, there's a reason why it's hipster Gates, because he is Bill Gates, but the cool-based meme lord version of Bill Gates. Anyway, having said all of that, yes, cars, newsflash for anyone who has not updated to the 21st century, yes, cars are spying on everything you do, and I hope people will take a look at that Gizmodo article that goes through it in some detail. Key quote here, Mozilla found brands including BMW, Ford, Toyota, Tesla, and Subaru collect data about drivers, including race, facial expressions, weight, health information, and where you drive, of course. Some of the cars tested collected data you wouldn't expect your car to know about, including details about sexual activity, race, and immigration status, according to Mozilla. So, yeah, your car is a spy device now, and it is spying on absolutely every aspect of you and your personal life. And I think that that's a problem, and every problem deserves a solution. So, in fact, I am, don't count chickens before they hatch, but I am planning the first edition of Solutions Watch for 2025 to be on this subject of car freedom and what people can do about this problem. So stay tuned for that. But you know what? I suggest maybe we should update the Hipster Gates moniker. I love that moniker. I'm glad you coined it. I've adopted it myself, but I think maybe we should now start calling him Hipster Soros, because maybe that is the way that people can understand it a little bit better. Because imagine if Soros did what hipster hipster Soros is doing, Musk is doing. Imagine if he was literally paying people to vote for Harris and literally becoming the president on the wings and literally buying out Twitter and personally banning people he dislikes and all of this stuff. Can you imagine the reaction from people? Oh my God, Soros is this unelected leader. What's going on? But Musk does it. It's a cool based meme lord. Anyway, just wake up call for people who don't understand that or don't understand what is happening to cars these days.
I've got a lot of smart automotive people in the Media Monarchy community. I was noting on my show this morning, Renaissance rednecks on the internet making how-to videos about how to fix your own car, how to run your own car, what some of the new EPA rules are going to do to cars starting in the 2027 models here in the States. Talking about a lot of that this morning on my morning show. James, again, what are you going to do? Most people are going to, it's one thing to say, well, I'm not going to use Apple. That's a pretty easy decision people could make. But the idea to say, I'm not going to use any more cars, it's going to be a lot more difficult. And again, they won't force you to buy the new ones. They're just going to let all the other ones fall apart and your ability to be able to repair those on your own. And you know, all the places, all the factories, all the mechanics will have their abilities removed to even be able to work on cars from the before times. But can we get some, maybe some good news, James, for our third and final story on this New World Next Week, episode 576, a farewell to copyright arms. These works enter the public domain in 2025. The 1st of January ushers in a new year and a new month and new entries to the list of works in the public domain. While 2024 saw many popular intellectual properties lose copyright protection, as we talked about right here 1 year ago, the initial iteration of Mickey Mouse, 2025 is not without its fair share of noteworthy additions. As of January 1st, several iconic books and characters now freely available for the public to use, to remix, to redo, to do whatever you would like to them. Ernest Hemingway's Farewell to Arms, the original Popeye, list of intellectual property entering the public domain in 2025 works from 1929, that's films and others, and sound recordings from 1924 are now open to all in the U.S. This means all books, all film, all songs, and all art, which is, you know, really open to interpretation, published throughout the roaring 20s are now without copyright protection, making 2025 a significant year for the public domain. And James, just the list, I think, is pretty impressive. A Farewell to Arms by Ernest Hemingway. Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner. Seven Dials Mystery by Agatha Christie. The first English version of All Quiet on the Western Front. Rope by Patrick Hamilton, which I double-checked indeed was the inspiration for Alfred Hitchcock's 1948 film. The Carnival Kid, Mickey Mouse's first talking appearance, and the debut of his signature white gloves, along with 11 other Mickey shorts. Now, James, you know, Mickey Mouse being kind of the pinnacle of the big changes within public domain and copyright protection, because, as you might know, Disney has very successfully, through the decades, fought to change these laws and update them so that they could maintain control over, you know, what is their mascot. But they're not. The Coconuts, the Marx Brothers' first feature film. Okay, you should say I've got he might be cut out of the shot. I do have Orson Welles and Groucho Marx hung up in pictures here in the studio. James the Skeleton Dance, Disney's first silly symphony short directed by Walt Disney and animated by the legendary Ub Iwerks. You've seen it in GIFs before. Blackmail, directed by the aforementioned Hitchcock, his first sound film. Hallelujah by King Vidor, supposedly one of the first all-black casts. And the character of Popeye by E.C. Seeger as he appeared in Thimble Theater and the comic strip Gobs of Work. I think you get the spinach and all that. Pretty big character out of France, James. We would know him as Tintin, Tantan, as he would be pronounced by his creator, Hergé. That's one of the things I remember from French classes back in high school. Singing in the Rain, An American in Paris, and Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Now, if you'd like to hear me sing a few bars of Tiptoe Through the Tulips, Tiny Tim style, you're going to have to check out my Morning Monarchy from January 6th, my first episode back this year, where I talked about public domain Popeye, as January 1st is Public Domain Day, works from 29, open to all. I'll include some extra articles from Duke University and the folks at archive.org who have a post essentially helping people add these new public domain items to the archive in the correct way. Because again, someone's going to immediately go off and try and use versions of Mickey Mouse that aren't legal, and that'll have to get smacked down. But yeah, archive.org is helping folks out, and that is Public Domain Day 2025. James?
Yes, good. Some good news, and I do appreciate it. And it is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're already doing a Popeye horror movie. So, of course, you know, the first thing you'll ever do is figure out ways to do this. And yes, I guess it's time to reveal to the public right now, yes, my first novel will be coming out this year, The Sound and the Fury by James Corbett. Why not? Anyway, cool. Yes. And you're right. Of course, we have always referred to the Copyright Extension Acts that always get passed every year, seemingly, as the Mickey Mouse Extension Act, you know, the Mickey Mouse laws, because that was what it was always about. Disney was at the forefront of lobbying for this, but they can't hold it back forever. And hey, at least a century later, we can get some of these works back into the public domain. Now, I think we should start questioning the entire concept of intellectual property, but anyway, a little bit at a time, and I'll take what I can get. So, New World next week, laugh of happiness. Ha ha, yay.
James, and I've often thought if, you know, four different life paths away and different timelines, if I were normie James Evan Pilato, having a job at the Library of Congress or the National Archive or anything just filled with media, I probably would have been all right to do kind of work like that. Thankfully for all of us, I make Media Monarchy instead. I also help run newworldnextweek.com. We are allowed to ship to Canada again. See, things are already getting better. Trudeau resigns and we're able to ship to Canada again. I don't know how expedited those shipments will become, but we are able to ship to Canada again, and hopefully those will start up and running again. So we really appreciate your patience. And again, Canada's the one that was dealing with the strike, not here in the States. Yeah, Trudeau quit, and boom, the postal strike was over. NewWorldNextWeek.com is your source for some merch and some gear, but also media from Corbett, from the monarchy, that helps support our work and keep us fear-free and ad-free. And that's why we don't have to take on weird sponsors that might kind of, you know, bring up what they might call conflicts of interest. James, I also like to remind people and to entice them to come check out my radio stream. What's Media Monarchy? It's basically a radio station. Think of it as a radio station. I do news in the morning and music in the afternoon, and the music and the news are all mixed throughout the day, and I play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes after my Thursday morning show, so you can come over, check it out. That's around 10 a.m. Mountain Time, you know, until we get rid of daylight savings time. James?
All right. Well, looking forward to conquering 2025 alongside you, and I hope people will check out The Monarchy. So, on that note, let's leave it there. James, looking forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.